Good morning, family.
Good morning.
We are going to be reading out of page 1714, which is Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, your pew Bibles, if you want to use them. A call to persevere in faith. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings heaven in our hearts, sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Anthony. This is a brief outline of my sermon today, why we go to church, fellowship. First, I'm going to introduce Hebrews' main passage and the connections it has to verses 19 through 23, and then we'll talk about how we are called as a family to gather together as a shared community. Third, I will share how we are called to support our community through encouragement. And fourth, I will talk about how we strengthen each other in community. So we have three S's: share, support, and strength. Maybe you can try to hang on to those three. Share, support, strength. Let me explain a little bit about what the author of Hebrews was sharing in the earlier verses, as well as in verses 19 through 23. These verses tell about Christ's death and resurrection. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. Believers, we do not have to wait for a priest to enter the holy place. We can now enter the holy place ourselves with complete communion with God. You see, during the time of the Old Testament, only the designated priest would be able to come into the most holy place. But now the author of Hebrews tells us we as believers can all enter. Why? Because of Jesus' death, we have a new way of life. Since Jesus died for our sins, we are now covered in his righteousness. We have been given the gift of being able to access God ourselves. We don't need to wait for a high priest to pray for us. Now, earlier in the service, and every week in our service, the pastor usually gives assurance of pardon, claiming that our sins are forgiven. And that's exactly what the author of Hebrews is stating in these prior passages. But maybe you say, well, so what? Now what? What are we supposed to do? This is where our passage begins today, in verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. See, genuine worship has become possible now that Christ has come. This sermon in Hebrews is for the fellowship of believers, not just for Pastor Rick, not just for Patty, not just for Rosalie, not just for a person. It's for the community. Here's a definition I found of Christian fellowship. True fellowship is rooted in a shared relationship with God and involves mutual encouragement and accountability. creating a community that honors God and strengthens believers in their faith journey. See, it goes beyond what we're doing right now, gathering together on Sunday morning. We need to be involved with our brothers and sisters, as well as our relationship with God. The author of Hebrews is calling believers into fellowship and worship. Jesus did not go through his agonizing death on the cross so we could just check in, sit in the pew, go through the motions. No. Jesus opened a whole new way for us to come to the Father. People of God, we have come to worship as a family, as a shared community of believers. God has called us to gather as a community when Hebrews says, brothers and sisters. We don't address everyone that way. We are a family. I love each of you. You are part of my family. And we come to this place to be with our family with confidence because we know that we no longer carry guilt and shame. No. Our sins have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. Through the grace of God, we can boldly walk into the house of God. Verse 19 says that we enter his house with confidence. God has given us this gift to worship. This is a gift. This isn't just something that's assumed. This is a gift, this time of gathering, a gift to worship in the body of believers. In a survey that Rick put out about why do we go to church, there were some responses that went like this. I go to church to be part of a faithful family of believers in Christ. I know it's important to me because when I don't go, I feel like something's missing. Another congregation member said, the fellowship of my church family is very important to me. And another said, I need that sense of community because sometimes during the week it gets lonely. And still another said, it's an important event in our lives. It's a time that we can meet with fellow Christians to acknowledge the great gifts we have received from our Creator. Now, as I read these comments, I can tell that many of you believe in the community of believers. It's important to you. So when someone's absent from Sunday worship, when there's a space empty where someone usually sits, the community suffers. We miss those who are absent from us. It's like this. When you gather with your family, your biological brothers and sisters, or your biological kids, and one doesn't show up for whatever reason, oh, we miss them. We hurt. Oh, people of God, we are a family. And when one of you is missing, we hurt. Where is that person? Are they okay? What happened to them? John Wesley said this about it. Christianity is a social religion. To turn it into a solidarity affair is to kill it. Congregation, we come together with common beliefs and values about God. We have a spiritual connection to each other. This spiritual relationship goes vertically with God, and it goes horizontally to each other, as well as the rest of the world. Our community goes beyond just our little time of fellowship. It's deeper than just caring for each other. We share an identity with Christ. We have been made in His image. We share similar values with each other, purposes, and meanings. Now, we share these things with our church family, but we also need to support each other. Hebrews says, "Do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another." The author of Hebrews is addressing a common problem in churches: congregational decline. This is the case for many churches today, and it was as well in the time of Hebrews. Attending church is not just about me, and it's not just about you. It's about all of us, all our brothers and sisters in Christ. It would be helpful that when we come to worship, we do not ask, "What can I get from it?" but "What can I give to it?" Discipleship is never a do-it-yourself. Christianity is a group thing, says William Willem. God didn't create us to live on an island by ourselves. He created us to be a community with each other. We're better together. And the reason that I believe God commands us to attend church is that we need to support each other. The early church in Acts 2 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread. We can do this in the hope of Jesus Christ. And then verse 23 of Hebrews says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." We know that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, gives us this hope. And this knowing that Jesus died and rose again for our sins, we know that. We also have promises, promises of eternal life that God has made to us. And as believers, we know that he will be faithful to his promises. But even with this hope and knowledge of God's promises, we struggle to be vulnerable and authentic with our brothers and sisters. A pastor stated it as a barrier that congregations have: an inability to share struggles and stories of brokenness. We need to allow ourselves to be vulnerable to our church family, sharing our concerns and our struggles with each other. Rick and I, we can't pray for you if we don't even know that you went to the hospital. We can't pray for you if we don't know there was a medical concern. When we have our time of joys and concerns, that is an important part of our service. It is a time for our church family to share what's burdening our hearts, to share our concerns. to share blessings and joys. This is a good way to support each other. And later, over a cup of coffee, we might be able to find other ways that we can help out and support. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ." God calls us to be listeners and encouragers with each other. For us to strengthen our church family, Hebrews says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." The gift of Jesus, it's not to be kept to ourselves. No. We're to share it. We're to share it and to build each other up. To be followers of Christ means loving and serving others out of gratitude for what Christ has done for us. When the author says to spur, other translations say provoke. Spur or provoke one another towards good deeds. This can't happen if we're not involved in each other's lives, because then we don't know what's going on. This requires that we help our brothers and sisters to stay accountable in their relationship with God. If we see our brother or our sister in Christ and they're going down the wrong road and they're slipping away from the fellowship of God, we need to speak up in love and encouragement. Another way we strengthen each other is to testify. To testify what we have seen and heard God doing in our lives. He's opened your eyes and he shows you how he's working, what he's doing. Now, Rick and I get to hear a lot of these stories of ways that God's working in your lives. But you don't hear each other. And you need to hear each other. Because we need to share these publicly. The stories about how God is working in our lives needs to go public, because it gives encouragement and strength to our faith. So I talked to Rick about this. Sorry, consistory, you don't know about this. Hopefully that's okay. You can discuss it tomorrow night if it's not okay. But on September 28th, the last Sunday of the month, we're going to try this. Right before our time of joys and concerns, we're going to have just a few minutes for one or two people to get up and to testify how they have seen God working in their life recently. And I would suggest it's good to write it down so it doesn't get too rambly. I even have to write my sermon down, but sometimes I add to it. And try to keep it to 1 or 2 minutes. So that'll be September 28th. We're going to try that. I hope we have 1 or 2 volunteers that are brave enough to share what's God's happening. If you don't want to come up here, we could just bring the mic to your seat and you can share it from there. Our time of worship, this is a foretaste of our life of God in heaven. And when I read that and I wrote that, I thought, do we all like this time? Is this how we want to spend eternity? So maybe that's a thought that I'm going to just put in your mind? Like, what should that look like? If our time of worship is to be a foretaste of life in heaven, what should our time of worship look like? But we're going to continue to live. We continue to live with sin until Jesus comes again. But through the grace and work of the Holy Spirit, we are being transformed. We are growing in Christ. And this growing comes from weekly fellowship with believers. We grow when we hear the message of God spoken. Growing comes from challenging each other through the week and holding on to that hope that we confess. Acts 2 continues. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Author Michelle Hershberger summarizes community this way in her book, A Christian View of Hospitality. She says, community is an essential part of our faith. When people look at our church, they will look at how we live together, not at our doctrines. People of God, our time together is an important part of being a Christian. Fellowship is an important part of our walk with God. It helps us to grow stronger in our faith. Being part of the fellowship of believers is how the world will know that we are Christians. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your Son who opened the way for us to worship you directly. We thank you for calling us to worship. May we share, support, and strengthen each other as we walk with you. Help us, Lord, to apply this message to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.